Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today. The huge egg recall stems from two farms in Iowa. You've probably heard the details by now. Salmonella has sickened about 1,200 people. A half billion eggs have been recalled in three separate recalls. The huge recall stems from two farms in Iowa, but there are a lot of connections to Ohio's egg industry. The owners of the farms own farms or are heavily invested in huge egg farms here in Ohio, and those farms are operated in a similar fashion to the farms in Iowa. This hour, we'll look at what conditions are like at Ohio egg farms and what's being done, what has been done to keep our eggs safe to eat. Joining us first is Dr. Beverly Byram. She is the lab director with the Ohio Department of Agriculture. Dr. Byram, thanks for joining us here.
Thank you.
What's the situation here? Any reports of a salmonella outbreak in Ohio egg farms?
Well, FDA is, of course, heading up this investigation, and no, there are no reports that any of these eggs have made it to Ohio, is my knowledge.
Have you stepped up inspections, or has the FDA stepped up inspections because of this outbreak at farms in Ohio?
Actually, the Ohio Department of Agriculture has been working with the Ohio Department of Health and the Ohio Poultry Association and have a Ohio Egg Quality Assurance Program that has been in place for about 15 years now. Mm-hmm. So that was started actually in the late 1990s and has with the goal of reducing Salmonella enteritidis in eggs. So we have actually had a very effective and active program now for 15 years. The FDA has started a new program, as you may be aware, July 9th, mm-hmm. where they are actually mandating that producers that have flocks that are greater than 50,000 birds are participate. But we've been fortunate in Ohio that we have recognized 95% of our producers have already been enrolled for a number of years. So this new program that FDA is starting, which will cover many other states, has already been in place in Ohio for a number of years.
And this is a voluntary program that the egg producers in the Ohio Department of Ag have.
Yes, that's correct. It is a voluntary program. And like I said, the good news for the citizens in the state of Ohio is that about 95% of the eggs that are produced in Ohio come from members of the Ohio Egg Quality Assurance Program.
How does this work? I mean, 19 million eggs, give or take, are produced in Ohio every day. How do you go about inspecting to make sure that none of those eggs or very few of those eggs are contaminated?
Well, participants in the Ohio Egg Quality Assurance Program have various elements, best management practices in place. And so on farm, they're doing things like they have biosecurity. They have, which means that they control their visitors in and out of the farm. They even control where the employees go from house to house. They have feed sourcing. They buy their feeds from feed sources that are known to be free of salmonella. The birds themselves come from salmonella-free flocks. So they have cleaning and disinfection that is in place. They do rodent control and fly control. So it's their responsibility to do these things and to record these things. The way that the program works, and in addition to that, to determine if the program is effective or not, they also submit environmental samples to our laboratory at the Animal Disease Diagnostic Lab with the Ohio Department of Agriculture, and we evaluate them for Salmonella enteritidis. So that program has been in place, and the testing actually provides a good barometer of the actual effectiveness of the program, and it kind of lets them know if Salmonella enteritidis could be at their facility.
According to my research, the 219,000 eggs were tested in the past decade. Doing my math, that comes down to 84 eggs a day are tested. So how does that work? Do they take a sample of eggs from farms and test to see if they're contaminated?
Well, the focus of the program really isn't testing the eggs. The focus of the program is testing environmental samples out of the houses.
And I see.
So the idea would be that this organism is shed in the manure, and so by getting gauze pads that have been used to sample the manure, we're actually evaluating those houses for positive manure. That would be the most likely place that you would find Salmonella enteritidis, really not in the eggs.
How often do you sample the manure or take an environmental scan, shall we say, of an egg farm?
Well, if we talk about the new program, mm-hmm. the new program will require those samples to be taken at pullet houses. I believe they were 14 to 16 weeks of age, those younger birds. Mm-hmm.
The younger hens, yeah.
And then they will also be taken at birds that are 40 to 45 weeks of age.
Mm-hmm. How often?
They will take them once during the time period when the birds are at 40 to 45 weeks of age.
So when they get to that age period,
that's
they
correct.
Take it.
And then, mm-hmm.
But there's no weekly inspections or monthly inspections or things like that.
Well, the inspection part actually comes in that the Ohio Department of Agriculture will send in inspectors, and each member flock is inspected once a year by a third party, which comes from the Ohio Department of Agriculture, and they review all of those documents that we talked about, you know, the feed sourcing, the source of the birds, their test results from any of the work that we might have provided, and their rodent control, their fly papers, those kinds of things, just to ensure that this particular participant is functioning and everything is in place.
Is once a year enough?
Well, again, I would say that the program that we've had in Ohio has been better and among the top in the nation. Mm-hmm. So the new FDA program that's mandatory now is very similar to the program that's been in Ohio. And I would say that, to my knowledge, we've not had a traceback of SE and eggs in Ohio for the past decade. So I would say that those statistics themselves would suggest that the program has been effective.
292-8513, area code 614-292-8513. If you'd like to speak with us, we're talking about egg safety, looking at some of the huge egg farms here in Ohio. Our guest is Dr. Beverly Byram. She's the lab director with the Ohio Department of Agriculture. 292-8513, or you can email question or comment to allsides at WOSU.org. You mentioned the feed supply. That was one of the targets in the investigation into the Iowa salmonella outbreak. Mm-hmm. Is the feed supply? Does that company that supplied the chicken feed for those farms in Iowa, do they supply egg farms here in Ohio?
I have the knowledge of that, so I don't really know.
Okay, but that's, you look at that and how, mm-hmm. rodent control. Mm-hmm. What kind of, is there fencing? Is there sort of poisons to keep the rodents away from these barns?
I think that a lot of the barns would use some bait, that type mm-hmm. of thing. And then actually, when the inspections are ongoing, they'll be looking for things like rodent droppings as an indication of whether or not rodents are there or not. So mm-hmm. I think baiting is the primary means that they would use for determining that.
The principals involved in this, as I mentioned at the outset, the principals involved in this Iowa outbreak do business here in Ohio. Does that concern you? What level of concern do you have because they're the same companies?
Again, I guess that I'm not aware of what type of egg quality assurance program they may or may not have in Iowa, but I can suggest that all of the members that are participating in the Ohio Egg Quality Assurance Program are following the guidelines. And if they have a problem, if there is a positive, they remove all of the manure. There's that cleaning and disinfection that must take place. That barn and facility is inspected before birds are put back in there. So, again, I can't speak to what's going on in Iowa, but I have some confidence in what we're doing in Ohio, and the record and the results kind of speak for themselves.
But there were some concerns. One of the DeCosta, the investor in the Iowa farms and owner of one of the Iowa farms, is an investor here in the Ohio Fresh Eggs facilities in Ohio. And there was some concern when he first wanted to be the principal owner of these facilities.
Yeah, I wasn't part of this discussion.
So. Okay. So you're just the inspector, not the policymaker.
That's right. And the laboratory. I guess one other thing that I would like to suggest is, again, that we test nearly 2,000 samples a year in some of these flocks. And so that program's been in place for a long time. So I would suggest that we have a low level of SE in Ohio, and I think that the program's working.
Are you ever going to be able to eliminate salmonella completely from egg production?
I don't know that the right word would be eliminate. I think the best way to phrase it is to reduce the risk. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a focus certainly for our job at the Ohio Department of Agriculture, is to reduce the risk of any foodborne pathogen that might come across. And I think that probably consumers aren't aware of the fact that there is a good bit of behind-the-scenes testing that's been going on for years and even decades that they don't know about that does assure and increase their opportunity to buy and purchase locally produced foods that have a low incidence of pathogens.
So with any farming with organic materials, with whether it be animals or vegetables, I mean, there is always a risk of contamination. You just can't escape that.
There is a risk, and the goal is to minimize the risk, mm-hmm. and that's true whether you're talking about eggs or whether you're talking about, you know, a hamburger or any of those products. So the goal is to minimize the risk, and it's ongoing. You can't let up. Once a program's in place, it's really important that it continues and continues to improve.
292-8513. If you have a question for Dr. Beverly Byram from the Ohio Department of Agriculture, we're talking about egg safety here in Ohio in the wake of the huge recalls stemming from the two farms in Iowa. 2928513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Critics say that these contamination outbreaks are magnified because of the size of these farms. Have these farms gotten too big to – are they getting too big? Because they're probably going to grow even more to stop an outbreak early before it gets to a half billion eggs.
Well, again, I think that the issue isn't the size of the farms, but how good of a job that the producers are doing in following the best management practices. So I don't really think it's a size issue. I think that it's really critical and important that the producers are following the best management practices, and by having auditors come in and verify what they're doing and ensure that they're ensuring that they are documenting. And there's ongoing training of these producers. That those things are important. So I don't really know that it's a size issue.
Mm-hmm. We have an email from Blair, very simple but important question. Please explain the difference between salmonella inside the egg and salmonella outside the egg.
Well, Salmonella enteritidis is an organism that, when it infects the hen, can reside in the ovary. So it is possible at a low level that the organism can be inside the egg that is laid. Mm-hmm. And that is different than the other salmonellas that are normally associated with poultry and birds.
And that's the salmonella on the shell, for instance.
That would be – that's
possibly
correct.
On the shell.
Mm-hmm.
How common are the two types?
Salmonella is I can't give you a number, but Salmonella enteritidis is not very common. Salmonella is associated with birds and reptiles and a variety of animal species. It's more of a kind of a normal flora type organism.
And that's where it goes back to the sort of basic cooking rules. Wash your hands, mm-hmm. Wash the outside of the egg or try
yes.
not to break the shell into your egg and then fully
That's
cook
correct.
Your egg.
That's correct. And CDC, if you get on their website, does have some guidelines specifically. And it talks about things like don't eat eggs that have been cracked or the shell is broken or dirty. Mm-hmm. Keep your eggs refrigerated when they're in their home. Don't eat raw eggs. Don't eat undercooked eggs. You're exactly right. And if people would look at that website, they'd be able to see that information.
Mm-hmm. Cage-free eggs, cage-free chickens.
Mm-hmm.
Are they at any less risk, any greater risk to salmonella poisoning?
I don't know that there's a difference in the risk. Again, I would go back to the best management practices that the producer is following. And are they doing the appropriate things? Are they managing the rodents and the flies and the manure and the birds themselves? Are they sourcing them from salmonella-free? And it's just overall sanitation. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of issues are more important than whether they're free or whether they're caged.
The FDA rules you mentioned, they're a little more strict now. They went into effect in July. How will they affect how you do your business?
Well, it's going to affect Ohio less than it does many of the states that don't have egg quality assurance programs. A lot of states are really scrambling right now to be able to provide the testing and to do
no
the
pun
right
intended.
Things. That's right. But in Ohio, actually, it's probably going to increase the numbers of samples. As I said, we've been testing environmental samples for a number of years, and we would expect to see about maybe a 10 or 15% increase in the number of environmental samples that we've tested. So we're preparing for that. In addition to that, we're going to be testing for houses that are environmentally positive. We'll be testing eggs, and so we'll be testing more eggs in the future than we have in the past, I would anticipate. So.
And if you find a problem, what can you do?
Well, there's a plan in place if we would find a problem. And again, we would involve the Ohio Department of Agriculture inspectors, and they would go out to a facility that would have a positive egg if that were to happen. Mm-hmm. And they would then ensure that particular producer is following the FDA guidelines. And mm-hmm. those guidelines would suggest that those eggs cannot go to the table market, that they would be diverted to what we call a breaker or a pasteurizer, mm-hmm. and that they would not get into the hands of the consumers.
But you can't shut it down.
I'm kind of stumbling on that because that's not my area of expertise.
Yeah. No, I know that we've seen it from the fly infestations and the complaints of pollution. It's been very difficult for the EPA, Ohio EPA, and other agencies to shut down the egg producers.
But. Well, what I can tell you is that the FDA will not allow that producer to bring eggs back into the table market mm-hmm. until they can ensure that the eggs that are being produced by those hens have had multiple negative 1,000 egg checks. I think it's 1,000 eggs tested every other week for four samplings. So there are guidelines in place of what to do if a particular producer does come up with a positive egg out of their flock, and those guidelines are established to ensure that SE positive eggs don't make it to the market. So there is a process by which that producer could get back online and sell eggs, but it would require multiple samplings of eggs and multiple negative tests before they would be approved to do that.
Bottom line, no instances of widespread salmonella contamination in Ohio right now.
No, I really am confident that the since this program has been in place, that it has reduced the level of SE in flocks. And again, I think it's a good thing for the citizens of Ohio to be aware that that program has been around for a while. And now that the FDA has provided additional guidelines, it's just going to improve the program.
Okay. Thanks very much, Dr. Beverly Byram, Lab Director with the Ohio Department of Agriculture. Thanks for joining us here on All Sides.
Thank you.
When we return, we'll talk to the director of the Ohio Poultry Association to get his take on egg safety as All Sides continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On your drive home, get local updates with the award-winning WOSU News Team.
It's very important that policyholders read their policies from cover to cover because there may be some changes that are being implemented by the company that they may not agree with.
Homeowners insurance in Ohio is the sixth lowest in the country for average premiums. An average policy here costs $548 a year compared to Florida, where it costs about $1,500.
Hear the latest in local and national news with All Things Considered on WOSU 89.7 FM.
You're listening to WOSU 820 NPR News. It's 68 degrees in downtown Columbus at 10:22. Partly sunny skies today and a high of 82 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 64. There's a slight chance of rain on Wednesday, otherwise partly cloudy, and a high of 83. All Sides with Ann Fisher with guest host Mike Thompson continues right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today. Here in Ohio, eggs are big business. Iowa is by far the nation's largest egg producer, but Ohio is number two. It is a $600 million business here in Ohio. It employs some 5,000 people, and it has been controversial over the years. Large egg barns have been blamed for water pollution, fly infestations, and more recently, they have come under fire for the way they treat the chickens themselves. Joining us now is the Ohio Poultry Association Executive Director, Jim Chikaris. Jim, Ohio has 27 million laying hens. How can you ensure that they are not laying contaminated eggs?
Well, the number one commitment of Ohio egg farmers is producing and providing for the consumers a safe, wholesome product. That is the prime directive. And as Dr. Byram was in earlier and spoke to the Ohio Egg Quality Assurance Program, Ohio was a pioneer in these salmonella enteritidis reduction programs in the United States. And the fact that we've been a part of that program for many years, we have a testing history, we have a protocol, salmonella reduction program history, that is now even taken to the next level to add an additional layer of protection for the consumers with the new FDA program. The farmers are doing everything within their capacity to ensure that those eggs are safe. The routine testing, the rodent control programs, the limiting of personnel in certain facilities, biosecurity, it's all important, and it's a part of the egg farmer's daily life.
Has anything changed since this Iowa outbreak? Have you stepped up monitoring and double-checked to make sure that the eggs here are safe?
Well, part of the timing of this particular recall issue is that it happened around the same time we see the new FDA program taking place. So there are some new additional programs. We're looking at testing during different times, the environmental samples, those type of things. So we are looking at that. Plus, I think any time of this, we do these things every day, but now it's just a double check. Let's make sure, let's double check everything that we're doing. Complete records detailed. Most of the egg farms have full-time employees. that do nothing but deal with the quality assurance programs.
292-8513, if you'd like to join our discussion. We're speaking with Jim Chakaris. He's the executive director of the Ohio Poultry Association. We're talking about egg safety here in Ohio, the huge egg-producing business that exists in our state. We've talked about these FDA regulations. Let's back up a bit. What do these new FDA regulations mean for you and your association and your producers?
Well, basically, they mirror what we have been doing a lot for years with just a few minor modifications. I think what now is been placed into the program is the system to help prevent an egg from a salmonella positive from ever reaching the consumer. So we talk about different layers of assessment, and the environmental samples that Dr. Beimer spoke to are the best testing mechanism we have for detecting if there's salmonella in the environment. If we find that, then the next step is to start testing eggs. And there are diversion programs to, in the event that we would ever get a positive egg, that those eggs are not going to reach the consumer. And so we think that next layer, where we have exact protocol spelled out, is another protection mechanism for the consumer.
Now, there is a bill before the Senate that would go one step further and give the Health and Human Services Secretary the authority to shut down an egg farm that has had serious violations. What do you think of that bill?
Well, I think, you know, I can't speak to the specific bill. I have not read that in its entirety. But what I can say is that we are committed to producing safe, wholesome food. If there are habitual violators out there, they need to have swift action taken, you know. But I think that the thing that we need to look at is agriculture is part science, agriculture is part art. We need to make sure that when there are problems, we know how to correct them. We know how to work with our government agencies. And I think that we need, you know, federal agencies that we can work with.
292-8513. If you'd like to join in our conversation, we're speaking about egg safety with Executive Director Jim Chakaris from the Ohio Poultry Association. 292-8513. Or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. I'm Mike Thompson, sitting in for Ann Fisher today. Salmonella poisoning is something just occurs in nature, and it's when you're dealing with nature, there's no way you can eliminate it. How far down can we reduce it, would you say?
Well, I think that's a good question. You know, the salmonella vector, if you will, is out there in our lives every day. And again, it depends on how people come into contact with it, what their particular state of health is. You know, I think that each year, each step, each additional layer of programs that we work with reduces that. You know, I'm not a statistician. I can't tell you what levels that we can get to, but I think that each step provides a further layer of protection. And the bottom line is that final layer of defense is with the consumer. In handling that product safe, properly cooking your eggs and all your food is important.
How much of a responsibility is it 50% of the responsibility lies with the consumer? Is it 20%?
You know, we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that it's 50-50, 25-75. It's just we all need to do our part. If one part breaks down, then that's what creates the problem. So I think that we all need to do our due diligence and make sure that we are on top of food safety, every aspect.
One of our callers, she couldn't hang on, but she wants to know, why can't kids lick the bowl anymore? My wife is always telling my kids, you don't lick the bowl because there's raw eggs in there. That's always been a rule in our house.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, if you're wanting to lick the bowl when you've got younger children, you know, of course, their immune systems maybe not be the same as what an adult is, so they may be more susceptible. So maybe that's where that comes from. If you want to lick the bowl, there are pasteurized eggs that are out there at your supermarket that you can use for that.
292-8513. Any questions about licking the bowl or anything else about egg safety, give us a call. 292-8513. Critics say that salmonella is here and you're trying to reduce it, but it's become much more difficult to stop an outbreak in its early stages because of the size of these farms. How would you respond to that? Are these farms getting too big to monitor closely?
I think that size is a neutral point when we're talking about these control programs, because I think that one egg is as much danger as many more, depending on the situation where it ends up. We look at the control programs. The larger farms often have more control over what's happening with the environment of those birds. So there are arguments that those birds are safer and more protected than what a smaller type of an operation is. So I think that the number of birds, the size of a farm really doesn't come into play here. I just think that it's how we respond to the situation and the programs that those farms are involved with.
Looking at the politics of it, we mentioned that it's a $600 million industry, employs 5,000 people. If you were to shut down one of these egg farms, it would have a huge economic impact on that community and, you know, conceivably the entire state. Is that a problem in that, you know, there's resistance to regulation politically because so many people rely on these farms for their living, for their wages, for their homes?
You know, I don't think so. And again, I think that we look at the size of the farms, and the larger farms have more regulation to start with. And so the larger they are, the more regulation they may have. You know, that's no different than any other industry that we may see. You know, auto manufacturers have a lot of regulation. They're big business. They have huge impacts on local, state, and regional economies. The same thing with farms.
How did this volunteer program begin? Back, was it 13 years ago, I guess?
Yeah, I think it was 1997. Mm-hmm. And historically, from what I have learned, is it was a group of interested egg farmers that came together with the regulators in the state and said, okay, eggs are often blamed for salmonella, sometimes rightfully, sometimes not. What can we do to reduce the instance? And so much research was gathered, a program was developed, and it's constantly evolved and changed as new science is available.
292-8513 if you'd like to join in our discussion. This egg producer in Iowa, DeCoster, he's been cited over and over again for 20 years. He's invested in egg farms here in Ohio. But, I mean, if you've been cited for 20 years, why is a producer like that still in business?
You know, I can't answer those questions. I don't work directly mm-hmm. with Mr. DeCoster. You know, there's different operations in different states at different levels, and so I don't know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be more of a state where there is a problem versus in the federal agency. We don't – not something that my office would deal with.
But as the Poultry Association, it has to be hard. I mean, you have farms who operate properly and don't have any complaints or very, very few complaints being associated with not just, sorry, this producer, but other producers that habitually have problems. It makes the whole industry look bad.
Oh, well, there's no question. I mean, the egg farmers in the state of Ohio constantly strive to do the right thing. And not to say that accidents don't happen, that there are situations that do occur, but I think it's how you respond to them. And I can tell you during my tenure with the association in Ohio, the egg farmers are doing the right thing and they're responding to the right issues. And if there is a problem, they're correcting it. And I think that's what's important.
We're speaking with Jim Chakaris. He's the executive director of the Ohio Poultry Association. We're speaking about egg safety in Ohio, what businesses are doing to protect eggs from salmonella contamination and other contamination. Besides salmonella, Jim, what's the other big worry on egg farms? Is E. coli a problem? I know it's a big problem for meat producers.
True, and not really. We're looking at primarily as the main pathogen that we're concerned with on an egg farm is Salmonella enteritidis. There are other types of disease that would affect the birds more mm-hmm. than there would be a human component to it. So, you know, that's important to make sure that the birds are healthy to keep producing eggs. But from a human zoonotic illness type thing, we're looking at primarily salmonella.
And the consumers, we've heard over and over again over the past week, no more over-easy eggs or no more overly over-easy eggs. A lot of people are disappointed in that. They like souping up that egg with their toast and things like that.
You know, I think it's all a personal decision, and, mm-hmm. and it's a risk factor. As I said, there are pasteurized eggs that have gone through a process to eliminate any salmonella mm-hmm. that if you want to enjoy an over-easy egg, you can use. It all depends on your personal state of health, what you would do. You know, we prefer that and tell people to handle their eggs well, keep them in the refrigerator. If you're more than a half an hour from a grocery store, pack a cooler to keep your eggs in on the way home. Get them in the refrigerator. Store them in the carton. That's what it was made for, not the little plastic things that come in your refrigerator.
Why is that? Why is the carton better insulated?
The carton's better insulated, and it's designed specifically for the egg. And you know, what cross-contamination could potentially happen within the rigid plastic surface within a refrigerator? And cook your eggs to 160 degrees, and that's what we recommend. And more information is available at www.eggsafety.org.
Mm-hmm. 160 degrees. I don't think we have egg thermometers, but what's that basically?
Any
over medium?
Any food thermometer will do it.
Okay.
You know, basically, if you want to be sure, scramble your eggs.
Mm-hmm. How about loose scrambled eggs? My wife likes loose scrambled eggs. Are they okay?
That's her personal decision, but scramble until they're firm.
I'll tell her that. 292-8513. Let's go to the phones, and William is on the line. Go ahead, William.
Yeah, I have a question about backyard chicken farming.
Okay.
Well, two questions. One is, what are the best practices? Because I know that a lot of people are taking chickens into the city now, and what are kind of things that you should be concerned about if neighbors are raising chickens in their yard?
Good question.
Well, I think when we look at salmonella, we're looking at a direct contact type of thing. Again, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you that. But, you know, don't come into direct contact with the chickens. If your neighbor's giving you eggs, make sure that you know that the eggs are wholesome, and make sure that you fully cook those and handle them just like you would any egg from the grocery store. You know, and if you do have a backyard flock, try to source your chickens from those that are known to be salmonella free. There are testing programs out there that most of the hatcheries and breeders follow.
Wash the shells is one step you could take.
You know, there's different schools of thought there, but we do recommend that you would wash them.
William, you said he had another question?
One other question is on the topics that have been discussed. Why are the flies and the mice the problem if they don't typically carry salmonella?
Well, I believe we do see the rodents that do carry the salmonella, and what could be spread by flies landing and going to another spot, that type of thing. That's why rodent control and fly control is very important in any salmonella reduction program.
Thank you for the call, William. 292-8513. If you'd like to join in our discussion, we're talking about egg safety in Ohio in the wake of the outbreak that has affected a recall of a half billion eggs from two farms in Iowa. 292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You don't represent backyard farmers, I take it, though, backyard chicken farmers.
We do have some that participate in our National Poultry Improvement Plan, which is a disease reduction program. So we do have some folks that are part of our organization as well, but primarily the larger commercial farms in the state.
Okay. Thanks very much. Jim Chakaris, he is the director of the Ohio Poultry Association. Thanks for joining us here on All Sides on WOSU. When we return, we'll talk with Marion Nessel. She is an NYU professor and author of the book Food Politics, and she'll talk about food safety, and she, safe to say, is a critic of some of the factory farms. We'll get her take on this issue when All Sides continues on WOSU.
See the new lineup of public affairs programming on Friday nights from WOSU-TV. Starting at 8 is Washington Week, followed by Columbus on the Record at 8:30. Continuing at 9 is the McLaughlin Group. And at 9:30, PBS presents Need to Know, a new program with an innovative broadcast and web approach to news gathering and reporting. Watch the new public affairs lineup every Friday night beginning at 8 on WOSU-TV.
You're listening to WOSU 820 NPR News. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, hour two of All Sides will be here, and we'll hear about politics with NPR's political junkie Ken Rudin. He joins us at 11. And at WOSU, listener feedback is very important. Your thoughts on the conversations some of us have been having across the radio and web matter a lot to us. We're creating an online audience advisory panel, and we're looking for at least 1,000 listeners who can help. If you have a moment, please go to wosu.org/survey to sign up and send us your thoughts. That's wosu.org/survey.
Support for the Statehouse News Bureau stories on WOSU comes from the Ohio Education Association, representing 131,000 teachers, support professionals, and higher education faculty who are working for great public schools for every child. Online at ohea.org.
71 degrees in downtown Columbus at 10:40. Sunny skies today and a high of 82. All Sides continues on WOSU.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today. Salmonella contamination is always a worry. It's never going to completely disappear. That's why we wash our hands before cooking. We wash them after handling meat. We use separate clean cutting boards. We cook our foods properly. But some argue that the huge outbreaks, the ones that cause hundreds of illnesses spread over thousands of miles, have one big cause, and that is the mega farm, the factory farm. One such critic is Marion Nestle. She's a professor at New York University and the author of the books Food Politics and What to Eat. Marion Nestle, are factory farms solely to blame for this outbreak in Iowa, do you believe?
Oh, of course not. Factory farms can be run safely, and some of them do. What we're dealing with here is a situation in which we don't have a food safety system that requires food producers to produce food safely, bizarre as that may seem. The FDA's rules for egg safety, which they had been working on for decades against much opposition, went into effect on July 9th, too late to deal with this one. Up until then, the FDA had no authority to go in and inspect. It had no authority to require food production facilities that were doing eggs to do them safely. Now it does.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the program here in Ohio that's a voluntary program that the egg producers and the State Department of Agriculture had entered into back in 1997 that they say mirrors what the FDA is doing now?
Yeah, and probably predates it. And mm-hmm. to the extent that it is done voluntarily, it's working. Mm-hmm. The problem is there are people who don't do these things voluntarily, and that's the situation that we're faced with now, a situation that is so bad that it's going to hurt everybody, even the good eggs.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to that regulation, from my understanding, the USDA, maybe it's changed since this new regulation when it came into effect. The USDA was responsible for regulation or safety before the eggs are processed, and the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, after processing. Is that still the case, or has that changed with this new law?
No, that's still the case. Mm-hmm. There's no difference in that. And that, of course, is one of the great problems with our food safety system such as it is. It's divided between two agencies as if those agencies govern foods that had nothing to do with one another, when in fact they do. Our food safety system was developed in 1906 at the end of the big scandal when the meatpacking industry was found to be very unsafe, and Congress immediately passed food safety laws. They basically haven't changed since. And Congress has been very reluctant to tamper with it because large food producers have argued so forcefully that they don't want regulation, they want voluntary.
292-8513, if you have a question for our guest this section, Marion Nestle. She is an NYU professor and author of the books Food Politics and What to Eat. She's calling for a stricter regulation of the food industry, the food safety regulations. Now, the food producers, the farmers, argue that more regulation will increase the cost of food. And, you know, eggs now are very cheap, and it's a good source of nourishment for people if they choose to eat them. But more regulation, they argue, will increase the cost of those eggs to what you see with so-called organic eggs or more sort of boutique eggs. Is that the case?
I would argue that we're paying a very high price for cheap eggs right now. If you look at what this is going to cost the egg industry, if you look at what it's costing the thousands of people who have become ill, the price is very high. It's just distributed in a different way. So we've externalized the cost of our food so that individuals don't pay for it at the supermarket. They pay for it in other ways. As a society, we need to rethink whether that's the best way to do this. And if I could just mention
sure.
something, the new edition of my book, Safe Food, The Politics of Food Safety, has just come out, and I would say just in time.
Okay. We'll put a link to that on our website, wosu.org/allsides. You can get a look at it, and if you choose to purchase it or go to the library and pick it up, that's where you can get more information on it. To your point about the cost being passed down the line, OSU researchers here at Ohio State estimated that foodborne illnesses cost the state of Ohio, just the state of Ohio, roughly $5.5 billion every year. And they estimate there are 47,000 salmonella poisonings each year, but many of them just go unreported. I mean, how many times have you heard your friend or somebody, or maybe yourself, say, I had food poisoning and perhaps that was salmonella? That's your argument, that we're paying for it in ERs or in doctor visits and things like that down the road.
Oh, and in a lots of other ways. And right now, the industry is going to be paying for it because people are going to be very leery about buying commercial eggs. And so that's a situation where if we had reasonable regulation and we had a food safety system that was functional, we would be able to prevent a lot of these kinds of things. And that's one of the reasons why there's so much concern about the Senate sitting on the food safety bill. And, you know, it's been sitting on it for more than a year now. The House passed the food safety bill that would give the FDA more authority and more resources last July. Not this most recent one, but a year ago, July in 2009. And the Senate has been foot-dragging on passing this food safety legislation ever since. I hope that some good will come out of this recall and the Senate will get moving on this when they get back from recess.
What's the most important provision in that bill? Is it the fact that these egg farms, habitual or serious violators, can be shut down? Not just eggs diverted?
Well, that's part of it, but it gives the FDA the authority to require recalls. Right now, recalls are voluntary. You know, they're voluntary under pressure, but they're still voluntary, and companies don't have to do them by law. And it will give the FDA resources so that it can actually inspect these facilities and do its job. It's not a perfect bill, but it's a step in the right direction, and it really needs to pass.
Let's go to the phones. And Karen, you're on the line. Go ahead, Karen. You're on the air with Marion Nessel, New York University professor.
Hello. Marion, I'd like to make a comment that in addition to the serious problem that we have about salmonella with the extreme number of eggs that have been identified, we have a serious problem in Ohio that most of Ohioans are very, very concerned about, and that is the animal treatment of factory farm animals in big, large mega farms. And both of those issues have to be addressed. And I think when addressing the issues of animal cruelty, and I have been to these factory farms in Ohio, and I can tell you that it is bad, that both need to be addressed. In fact, today the Ohio Livestock Care Board is meeting right now talking about a compromise that they could make if they were willing to better conditions for the animals in these 27 million animals. And by the way, Ohio has the second worst reputation for cruelty to farm animals because we have such huge numbers of poultry farms.
Okay, Marion Nessel, what is the connection between allegations of animal cruelty or the crowding of these barns and salmonella outbreaks?
I think there's a big connection. I was a member of the Pew Commission on Industrial Farm Animal Production, and we were taken around to a lot of factory farms. And I have to say that for a layperson like me, it's a shocking experience to see them. Because what you see is 100,000 laying hens in one place, and either they are in cages, and I must say that in the places that we visited, the cages were clean, the place didn't smell, and it looked like it was very well run. But there they are crammed into a cage, and whether you think that putting six or nine hens in a very small cage is a good idea or a bad idea depends on your ethical values. But to me, it was quite shocking to see it. And then in the ones where the hens are free range, I thought it gave whole new meaning to the term free range because here again, there were 100,000 hens. This time they weren't in cages, but they were all on top of each other. The conditions were very crowded. Now, the industry argues that they can keep the hens healthy, and whether the hens are happy or not is something that people can argue about. But to me, it seemed like it was a situation, both situations were ripe for contamination because if one animal, if one bird gets sick in that situation, the possibility for just having it passed around by crowding seems very great. The Washington Post had an article yesterday about the consolidation in the poultry industry, and its comment at the end was that this egg recall gives us pause and makes us wonder whether this level of concentration is good for the animals, good for the workers in those places, and good for the health of the public.
We're speaking with Marion Nessel. She is a New York University professor, author, critic of factory farm industry, and calling for more regulation of the industry on all sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today. Are factory farms, Marion, are they here to stay? Will there ever be a time when we don't have huge farms like this?
Well, I think they could be smaller and still be profitable. And they would be much better for everybody concerned if they were. The scale has gotten to the point where it's really difficult not only to maintain the health of the animals, but it's also, and this is true of factory farming of animals in general, but also it has a big impact on the workers in these plants, on the communities in which these plants are located, because the wastes are so enormous in quantity that they can't be handled by the available land or water systems, and they're not required to, or they are required to be treated, but it's a requirement that is largely ignored. And they have a big effect on our ability to resist antibiotics or our ability to be treatable by antibiotics, because in many of these factory farm situations, although not egg layers, antibiotics are a big issue, too. So there are lots and lots of issues about factory farming, and I think it deserves, the whole question deserves a very close look. And if the egg recall initiates that look and gets people looking at this kind of thing, I think that's good.
Now, the Ohio Poultry Association and the lab director from the Department of Agriculture, the Ohio Department of Agriculture we had on earlier, said the Ohio testing system is working. Without addition, it's a voluntary testing program. They've had very, very, very few contaminations, no huge contaminations or outbreaks since it was put in place. Is that an example of how it can be done without government regulation?
It is, if everybody was as good as the and as reasonable and as honest and as ethical as the people in Ohio. But we've just seen an example of voluntary that didn't work. And unless the regulations are in place so that everybody has to do what's being done in Ohio, I think there will always be people who cut corners. That's just how it works, and we've seen this over and over again in these large food safety outbreaks. We saw it with peanuts last year, where somebody voluntarily was testing and didn't like the results, so got somebody else to do the testing until he got results he liked. And lots of people got sick as a result. If we want a safe food supply, we need regulation. I don't see how we can do it without it.
My question I asked to others is why, like the producers in Iowa who have been cited in this outbreak have ties or do business here in Ohio, but Ohio has successfully avoided any kind of outbreak like this. Iowa's got this huge outbreak with many of the same people involved, certainly the same practices involved. Are we just lucky here in Ohio, or does Iowa have far less regulation than Ohio has?
Maybe you're testing. I don't really know what the Ohio regulations are, but if you're testing and doing what you're supposed to do, if the tests come in positive, then people won't be getting sick.
Mm-hmm. And that we don't know if that the testing was occurring in Iowa on a state level.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the requirement is, but I would say somebody wasn't testing.
Mm-hmm. 292-8513, just about 5 minutes left if you want to jump on and ask a question of Marion Nessel. She's an NYU professor and calling for more food regulation, tighter regulation of the mega farms, the factory farms, where all of this, of course, stems from the huge egg recall that we're seeing right now. We should mention that the large grocery stores in central Ohio all say that they have not been touched by this recall. The eggs that they have been selling have not come from these farms. So as of right now, Meijer, Giant Eagle, Kroger, who am I leaving out? I'm leaving out somebody. Anyway,
it's also the case in New York. I'm not seeing. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing signs in all of the grocery stores around where I live saying that their eggs are not affected.
Mm-hmm. What is the consumer's responsibility? We talked about cooking eggs properly. You know, we've all seen the movie Rocky where he makes that concoction at 5 in the morning where he puts all those raw eggs into a huge glass and drinks it down. What is the consumer's responsibility to avoid getting sick?
Well, this obviously food safety is a shared responsibility, and it used to be that the biggest food safety problems were deviled eggs at church picnics. This was a long time ago, and a few people got sick. That's not the case anymore. But I don't think that we as consumers need to do anything more than standard food safety procedures. We need to wash our hands and wash our cutting boards and keep cold things cold and hot things hot. I don't think, as Carol Tucker Foreman of the Consumer Federation of America put it, that we should be treating our food as toxic waste. We shouldn't have to do that. The food should be safe when it comes to us, and if it comes to us safe, then it's our job to keep it safe by following standard food safety procedures. But I don't think people should expect that their food is toxic to begin with. It doesn't have to be. We know how to produce safe eggs. We've seen plenty of places that have instituted these procedures, and the eggs are safe as a result. Everybody needs to institute these procedures.
Is getting completely safe food, is that unrealistic given that it is a natural, these are natural foods, they occur
totally
in nature?
Yeah, it's totally unrealistic, but we could do a lot better than we're doing. We could do a lot better. And what's happened, and what's one of the changes that has taken place, is that the kinds of bacteria that are causing these problems are much, much more toxic than they used to be. They've picked up antibiotic resistance. They've picked up toxins, partly as a result of the crowding and the ability to pass bacteria from one organism to another. They've changed in ways that we're not really prepared for and that our food safety system is certainly not prepared for, which is why it needs to change. So I think, yes, follow food safety procedures at home, but scream at your congressional representatives to get some decent legislation in place.
Do you see that happening in this election year?
Oh, it's a very, very difficult year. And, of course, we have a completely dysfunctional Congress that can't move on anything simply because they're doing politics. I think this is that food safety is something that should override politics and that there should be bipartisan support for keeping our population healthy.
Okay, that's our guest for this section, Marion Nessel. She's a New York University professor and author of the books Food Politics and What to Eat. What's the name of your latest book, Marion?
Safe Food, The Politics of Food Safety.
Okay.
Just out.
And the link to that, I've been informed, is on our website if you want to check it out and learn more about food safety. My thanks to Marion Nessel, also to Jim Chakaris from the Ohio Poultry Association, and to Dr. Beverly Byram, the lab director at the Ohio Department of Agriculture. This has been All Sides on WOSU 820 NPR News. I'm Mike Thompson.